the parallel paradox. Call it the doxolil.
Waking up, I check the price of Bitcoin. Scrolling on down through the shitcoins. Hot damn, I'm up 20 bands. Blesses once again, like ooh, ooh, ooh. My account's at an all-time high. When Red Bull char make bearers die. Milky bar, so the price is gon' fly away. Today, today, I pray. Got my bags packed, only wish you had that. Try to tell the normies they ain't listen, how they sad, sad. Big BTC, lil bro E, GRT. I've been telling y'all to grab that. Bought link, I ain't even do no research. Carry round bags so heavy that my knees hurt. Please, sir, this is for my family. I've been buying daily for prosperity. Okay, you got your suicide stack, all in Bitcoin, I don't need no cash. Fuck Cuckbucks, they suck, I don't wanna pay stub. You can keep the cash, I'ma stack until that day comes. Lambo, moonshot, I believe since day one. Ooh, I'm finna pump this shit to Mars, no need to say none. If you been on the sidelines, I'ma win, it's my time. Jumping on you fast, here hold my legs and watch them decline. Waking up, I check the price of Bitcoin. Scrolling on down through the shitcoins. Hot damn, I'm up 20 bands. Lessons once again, like ooh, 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 ooh. My account's at an all-time high. When Big Bull taught him, bearers die. Milky bars, so the price is gon' fly away. Today, today, I pray. Shout out all the homies who just stack and stack. Mighty Man, Battle Hell, Mr. Swan and Max. Every fellow OG, RCT, Loom Dart, R&R, Loops, and Kobe. If you don't know me, this is strong hands only. Have fun staying poor if you capitulate, homie. I could never do that, hardly ever go fast. Small team won't do full set if I am can. I'm long with a whole stack, I'm Giga Brain Bull Chat. Okay, here's what happened before the IRS, man. I went football taught and the bearers died. It sounds tall tales, but it's no lie. See, I lost all my money in the exchange hack and the boating accident that happened after that. Plus, I'm down a couple racks from when I bought Zcash. It's okay, I'll write it off, whatever helps the tax, yeah. Waking up, I check the price of Bitcoin. Scrolling on down through the shit coins. Hot damn, another 20 bands. Blessings once again, like ooh, ooh, ooh. My account's at an all-time high. When Big Bull taught me, bearers die. Milky bar, so the price went and flew away. But that was yesterday.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, everybody. And welcome to the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces, episode 98. That song was Bitcoin by Captain Youth. And I just felt like today was an appropriate day to go ahead and play that song as the intro. We're getting back up to 100K Bitcoin or 1,000 sats for one US dollar. So I guess depending on which way you look at that, it's good news or bad news. But I just want to thank everybody who's tuning in and who took time out of your morning to join us. So I just want to say good morning to BitPetro, Texas Toast, Hunter, of course, listening every single day, Elle and Penny. Good morning, ladies. Dr. Nick in the audience, Little Ban. We got Chivas. We have Jesse. We have Stacktoshi. I have Taggart. Jeremy, Whale, I think I see Z-Mac in the audience, Daniel, Toasty, good morning, everybody. And of course, we have AC and Bob Van Kirk up here. Good morning, gentlemen. How was your afternoon evening?
Good morning, Coleman. Good morning, everybody. Mine was awesome. I don't see AC on stage. We should try to get him up here.
Sending the invite right now again. I thought he was up here. My bad. So I have to say, Bob, I told my wife all about the space we did yesterday, and I was just completely fascinated by what you did with that. And I hope everybody really enjoyed that, the space that we did. I threw it up there on Spotify pretty quick yesterday. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, you can go to our, link on X, or you can just go right to Fountain Spotify, and the space episode is right there. But it was really, it was great asking those questions, getting to kind of details with everything. And I really do look forward to circling back on this topic in a couple months to see how you guys have progressed and see, you know, if you've got that potential new land that's next to it. So yeah, a lot of big developments going on. So thank you, Bob, for taking the morning and talking about that.
Yeah, yesterday was a lot of fun. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to talk about it. Hope people learn some stuff. Just wanted to say it was a blast doing it, but also, it was a blast watching, the Bitcoin veterans, video, last night. It was incredible. It was pretty fun just to see those guys kicking around some of the topics.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and start talking about that. I only watched the first half last night. I got busy doing, you know, dad stuff in the evening, so I wasn't able to tune in completely. I'll have to catch the other half on Spotify or Fountain. But Bob, we want to kind of fill everybody in at what we talked about. There's a link up in the Nest for those who are interested. After the space today, if you want to take a look at that.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of in and out, but it was fun. I was doing dad stuff too, but it was fun to see some of the topics, most notably the grilling, as I'll call it, of Pete Hegseth, who's up for nomination in the Trump administration Department of Defense, head of the Department of Defense. So I would encourage everybody to go back and watch that. Some good takes on the grilling by some of the, I would say, more liberal senators who were clearly losing their mind as they were asking and grilling Pete Hegseth.
I think that's, to put it mildly, that they were losing their mind. They're almost deranged with some of that stuff. It's just, it's frustrating. But I think the guys made great arguments for a lot of Pete's statements that he'd made, and I side with them. I think there's a role. So I guess we should talk about what they're arguing about. I think the biggest thing was his statement about women not being in a combat role. And just his thoughts on that. And I think the guys last night made great arguments, and I agree with all of them. That I, again, if they're able to meet the requirements and it's the same requirements that men have to do, then I don't see an issue with it. But again, they're going to be treated differently, regardless. So, it was a great episode. And after that part, I'm not really sure what happened after that.
Yeah. I think it's interesting to see the, for me, I guess, just interesting to see how they don't really let the person they're grilling answer the questions. Like, they're using it more as a way to just kind of see if they can get the person flustered, see if they'll make a mistake in front of a huge audience. And then they just kind of continue on with their tirade. So it's I think it's pretty disrespectful, and it's sad to see that that's what we've come to. But, you know, it really does just show that they're grasping at straws, that they've been pretty much neutered and aren't going to be able to be very effective other than in trying to rattle some cages.
My argument, if I was Pete, would have been, well, I thought that you were supposed to be an Indian Pocahontas, and then that was proven differently. So why did your stance change? If your stance can change, I think mine can too. Can anybody hear Eomar?
Nope.
Hey, Eomar, you might have to get down and then come back up. The X bots don't really like you today. But good morning, AC. We haven't had a chance to talk to you yet this morning.
Hey, can you hear me now? I think I was on the wrong mic.
Double mute strikes again.
Like the mic that I was switched to isn't even connected to my computer right now, so I don't know how that's working. That must be what the my FBI agent listens to me on. So
that guy's probably bored out of his mind hearing you rant.
I think
why is he talking to himself when he types? What's going on?
Yeah,
over there?
Exactly. You're just typing away. Click, 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 click.
I have like a loud keyboard too. I hope it's horrible for him. I was just saying that he should have, when they asked him about his choice on women in combat, he should have just asked them to define a woman for him. Somebody got real confused.
You can't define what a woman is. I thought that was the whole last 4 years, right?
Yeah, it was that Supreme Court justice. Like, I'm not a biologist. I don't know.
When we go back and like we circle and look at this part of history, like again, I don't know who could ever justify the decisions and the way that we went for the last 4 years. And again, I don't want to make this political. I'm pretty sure everybody knows which way we kind of lean on this show, but again, it would have been absolutely catastrophic if we would have had another 4 years of this nonsense. And it's, Trump hasn't even taken office yet, and you're starting to see all these changes and reforms. And again, if you're a man and you want to be a woman, that's fine. I really don't have a problem with that, but just don't like, I can't say that because that would be taken out of context. Like again, just stop throwing it at me every single day.
Well, I tell my wife, cause I have young kids and like, you know, we had like a conversation like, oh, how do you handle this? And like, to me, it's like, you know, it's all founded in like individual rights, right? Like, so like you can do whatever you want to yourself and I don't care. That's none of my business. It doesn't really directly impact me at all, but I don't have to pretend that it's normal, right? Like if you are a, you know, biological man and you want to dress as a woman or, you know, go through surgeries to make yourself appear more as a woman, you know, that's on you. I don't think it's healthy personally. You know, I think it's a mental illness, honestly. And, but like maybe for some people, the best treatment for that is just to go along with it. I don't know. I'm not a, you know, to echo the Supreme Court justice I was just making fun of. I'm not a psychologist, so I don't really know, you know, so maybe that is like the treatment for, some of these people. But I don't have to like tell my kid like, yeah, that's perfectly normal. Like for somebody to do that, like, no, it's not normal. You know, there's probably something wrong with that person. Not that they're evil or bad or anything like that, but you know, something's off. Maybe, you know, take that however you want to take that. But I don't have to tell him that that's normal behavior. And, you know, just like, if you just think of it like statistically, it's not normal behavior. And again, you could take that however you want. I'm not saying like that person's evil or wrong or anything, but, you know, that's their right to do it. But what they don't have a right to do is like to force me to, you know, accept it and like tell my kids that it's normal behavior, right? Cause I mean, life's confusing enough for a kid. I don't have to confuse them even further, you know? And you know, if they ever do get confronted with that kind of behavior and stuff and they ask me about it, I'll just tell them, like, listen, like, you know, that's not normal. But you know, what their person's doing isn't hurting you, so it shouldn't bother you either, you know? If they get out of hand and they start like, you know, obviously probably not towards a kid, but, you know, if somebody's like being crazy about it, then, you know, that's a different, conversation, but that's how I kind of approach those, these crazy times, as we say.
The crazy times is one way to put it. What I think that they never focus in on is, you know, everybody has, you know, everyone goes down different paths in lives and some of them are temporary and some of them, you know, are permanent. But they never talk about like, okay, people that want to become a transgender, like what about 3 to 5 years out? How does someone that's gone through that transition, how do they feel? And like a lot of people that have gone through that, they realize it was just a fix. They didn't feel right. You know, they're going through depression and they thought that maybe this was going to be a solution. And then they realized that it was just a little band-aid. It didn't fix any of the issues that were deep seated inside of them. And now they're left with this thing that they can never fix again. And that's the part that we should be focusing in on is that 3 to 5 years out from that transition period, what's life look like? And again, some people, and maybe it is more than half. Again, I don't really follow it a whole bunch. And maybe some people are just absolutely over the top that they did it, and that's just fine. And then again, to each your own, but to say that it's the right fix for everybody that's going through a situation and to force it on children, like showing children, saying it's okay, allowing them to do these surgeries and telling them that if they want to change in the future, they can. Like that's where I draw a hard line in the sand. And I'm like, no, you are absolutely evil. And there's no other word for it, for allowing that to happen. So it's just crazy. I don't know how
I agree 100% there. You know, I think that, you know, I think it's like the parents that are doing it to kids. I don't think kids are making that choice. You know, my kid wants to do all sorts of like crazy nonsense stuff, and I tell him no, because he's a, you know, they're kids. You know, if I let them do whatever they want to do in other fields, you know, like somebody would intervene, you know, so like, I don't know why this is like the one thing where it's like, oh, well, like, you know, if your kid wants to get a tattoo, they can't get a tattoo, you know, and like you would be frowned upon if my kid was like, oh, I want to get a dinosaur tattooed on my face and I brought him to the tattoo shop, like people would think I'm crazy. But even that, you can get lasered off at this point, you know, so like if a kid wants to do something that will like change the course of their life, I don't think that should be something that's like dove in, you know, both feet. But to me, it's wild. And like you said, it's like child abuse. I just can't see why that's, accepted.
I always tend to zoom out on these things because it's kind of hard for me sometimes to, you know, try to make decisions or think about these things, like, and say, here's what the best solution is, like, for our society. So, but I just look at it and say, you know, this is just emblematic of our fiat society. And, you know, maybe I can say that because I'm a Bitcoiner, but, and we say this, these things a lot, but it's like, you know, these are long-term decisions that are being made, and, you know, maybe they can be reversed, but I think as we've seen, there's long-term repercussions. And so I think it's a time preference thing. You know, kids go through a lot of different stages, and there's a lot of influence out there. And so I just think people are making very short-term decisions because that's what they're conditioned to do. They don't think about things from a long-term perspective and what the implications are.
Yeah. And to be fair, like, you know, from my perspective of like the mental health industry in the United States, at least, isn't very good. You know, like there's a lot of like, you know, just toss pills at them until they stop complaining. There's a lot of, you know, they look for, you know, some sort of, like more looking at like the symptoms rather than the cause of things, I would say. And again, this is like me from the outside looking in, like I have friends that, you know, have, like some issues and stuff, and they like get, help from professionals. And like, you know, like just from my perspective on that, it's like, you know, I wish they would prescribe less like, drugs and like these type of things and just like encourage things that are, you know, very like they pop up a lot with like the Bitcoin community, such as like fitness and, you know, eating healthy and that sort of stuff. Especially for like, veterans, I think like there's like I think the depression of being like unhealthy and out of shape is worse maybe for veterans, cause you were at some point like at that like pinnacle of health, versus like if you were, you know, just always kind of living that, unhealthy lifestyle. So I think that, you know, we need to take another look at how we are, you know, quote, treating things here in the States. And I think part of like RFK stuff is like going after like the advertisements and, some of like the health industry, like the way that they're the big pharma and stuff. I don't know if that, I forget like the details on it, but I think that was like one of the MAHA stuff was to try to combat big pharma and, you know, try to take more holistic approaches. And I think, you know, it's not to say like that you never need like medications and stuff. It's just like, it shouldn't be the first choice. Right. And the same thing with, you know, we were talking about like the transgender stuff for whatever reason, but, you know, that shouldn't be like the first choice is like, let's do this traumatic surgery and hormone replacement and all of that stuff. You know, it should be a extremely long road to get to that point. Because a lot of this stuff is irreversible damage. So, you know, we, and like to your point, Bob, like this is all likely, you could point it back towards like the fiat stuff, right? If you read through like fiat food, you could see how they did it with food. And it's probably very similar to, what they do with medicine and everything like that, right? Like, you know, I'm sure you guys have seen like the reports of, you know, if they get somebody, if they get a kid on these like hormone replacements and get them on that path, it's like a lifelong, you know, it's like giving them a lifelong prescription for things. So it's a huge money incentive for them to push that, which shouldn't be the case, right? That shouldn't be the primary incentive of our healthcare system, right? Like there's the HIPAA stuff that, you know, kind of gets danced around when you think of it. You know, like just because some journal or document says X, you can get away with it and like not be in violation of HIPAA. Whereas if you're to look at it objectively, it's, you know, pretty harmful to the patients.
But we don't even treat, like doctors aren't really taught anymore how to prevent things from happening. They're just taught how to treat it. Like, what are the symptoms? Here you go. This will help mask those symptoms until something else pulls up. And then you take this pill and then something else. And I think that was pretty evident with COVID. Again, you can go down any conspiracy theory you want, but there was never an at-home like prevention thing that was discussed. It was always just take this, take that. Like, it was nothing like, hey, maybe if we just ate healthy, maybe there is a thing for this obesity thing. Maybe there is, you know, a higher group of people that are at risk and not everybody should do this. It was just kind of just take this and make money on it.
The big eye opener for me was cholesterol. I had like a couple surgeries over the summer and then I had a physical afterwards and my cholesterol was like higher and like the doctor was just like, oh, I guess we'll just put you on, what are those? Statins. I was like, I don't think so. Like, I'm not doing that. And then, I got retested a couple months later for, like life insurance. The life insurance company wanted to do like tests and stuff. And my cholesterol was like back within like normal range. It was just that I had to like lay down. Like, I couldn't be as physically active and stuff for a couple months because of, surgeries. And like, it was like, oh, this number's high. We're going to prescribe this for it. It's like, don't you think you should suggest like, you know, diet and exercise first before like jumping into, let's take a medication for the rest of your life. But that's just kind of like, you know, it's pretty eye opening for me, that experience. I'm sure like, you know, there's plenty of other people that can say that, you know, attest to the same kind of, treatment from doctors. And like my wife works in the medical field, and she knows people that like want to take certain, you know, they want to go down certain paths to become like a PA or something. So they can work in like the psychiatric side of things. And like one of them described it as just like, you know, like slinging pills at people. And it's like, yeah, it's pretty shameful that that's like the thought process, you know?
You're absolutely right with that. And I'm just, you jolted something in my memory. I think Matthew Lysak is writing a new book. I think he's doing fiat medicine. So remind me, he's coming on the show on the 28th of this month. So if you haven't had a chance to read Fiat Foods, go get it right now from the Safe House. It's a fantastic read. It's really eye-opening. A lot of this stuff you may be aware of, but a lot of it, it was just kind of like, there's no other word than evil to describe the people that were involved with a lot of these policies. And there's no science backing what they're saying. It's just kind of on beliefs. So I definitely highly recommend that, but I'll go ahead and we'll talk to him about that. But I'm pretty sure he's writing a book, Fiat Medicine. So that should be a good one to read as well. I was going to say something else, but I just kind of spaced out on that. So
I just want to say Fiat Food, like for any of the guys out there, it's the first book related to like Bitcoin and even like economics or finance in general that I've been able to get my wife to actually read. So, you know, she doesn't really care about like finances or any of that kind of stuff. You know, she just passes that responsibility off to me, but, you know, she does care about like food and whatnot. So I was able to get her kind of hooked onto that. So hopefully the next step will be, the Bitcoin standard. And then, the orange pill will be, complete.
And, if you're in the Houston area, Northeast, on the 29th of this month, my wife and I will be hosting a Bitcoin meetup. So if you have any questions, read it, show it to me directly. I'd be happy to tell you the date and location, but Northeast Houston on the 29th of this month, we'll have a local Bitcoin group. AC, we haven't heard from you this morning, sir. You doing okay? Can you talk for a little bit? I'm going to take that as a no. So we'll go ahead and start covering some of the topics for today. But really quick, I want to give a thank you to our partners, Black Sheep Ammo. Restock your ammo at blacksheepammo.com. Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining, solosatoshi.com. Use our code BTCVETS for 5% off your order. And if you pay with Bitcoin, you get additional 10% off, so you can get 15% off your order, solosatoshi.com. Punch plate, again, don't leave your seed phrase on paper. Don't leave it on any type of electronic device. Stamp that on metal. Go to punchplate.com and take care of that. Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms and tactical training at paladintowertactics.com. If you're going to Bitcoin Alaska on July 5th and 6th, on the 1st of July, Paladin Tower Tactics will be putting on range day. So it'll be a great chance to get taught by professional instructors. So don't miss out on that. You can check out paladintowertactics.com or go to bitcoinalaska.org to get your tickets. And Cold Card. I recommend always putting your Bitcoin in cold storage. There's not another hardware wallet that I trust like Cold Card. So use the link up in the Nest, select that, and purchase your Cold Card from them today. Treat your Bitcoin like it's worth 10 to 100 times the amount it is right now, because I have this feeling in my gut, I can feel it in my bones, there's going to be some very, very positive changes coming towards the Bitcoin ecosystem in the next several days. And we can go ahead and start firing into that and just get everyone's thoughts on some of these rumors that are coming through with Trump and what he wants to do on day one. David Bailey revealed at the 100K party that Trump told him he had a very large position in Bitcoin, and so that he does believe that he's going to be very pro-Bitcoin. He does believe he will do an executive order to create his strategic reserve. So let's just go ahead and start firing with this. Yomer, Bob, let's go ahead and get your takes.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there who, you know, get frustrated with politicians because they, you know, put their money in places where they know, where they have the inside scoop. And so you could look at this and say the same thing for Trump, but on the other hand, you know, this is going to be best for, the country, and Trump didn't know he was going to get reelected. So I think, you know, we see examples of like Scott Bessent, it sounds like had a pretty nice stack through the IBIT ETF through BlackRock and is going to be, liquidating that position because of his, nomination and I think eventual, approval to be the Treasury Secretary. So I don't know. You look at the Nancy Pelosi's and, you know, some of the others who have made fortunes off of their, elected office. And, I don't know that it's, ethical. You know, we could debate that all day, but, I think that, you know, this happens, and until the laws change, this is just par for the course. This is what's going to happen. So
there's a rumor that, he's going to go ahead and repeal Sob 121 on day one. And so this rumor was reported in Forbes. So somehow they got that information, but the rumor that Trump has a lot that came from David Bailey. And, so again, David Bailey is kind of a controversial character. You know, he says a lot of things, maybe not be the best faith actor for Bitcoin, but Adam Back posted on that video of David Bailey speaking, and he said that he heard it as well, that Trump has a very large position and that he's going to be pro favorable. So again, I try and listen to people that have been in the industry for a very long time and people that are very reputable, and I've never really known Adam for being someone who just will repeat a rumor or a lie without having some kind of credible evidence to it. So I do think that this is going to just be an absolutely crazy week next week. But I think the easiest thing that he can do to show good faith, if he doesn't do an executive order for a strategic reserve or repeal the SOP 121, would be go ahead and keep that promise of freeing Ross on day one. I think that would put a lot of ease on Bitcoiners' minds. It would be, it takes absolutely nothing to do, but it just kind of puts them up on a higher, you know, higher ranking within our community.
Yeah, maybe Coleman, just for context, or maybe just as a reminder. So with SAB 121, that was actually close to getting repealed. There was a bill that went through both the House and the Senate, and Biden actually vetoed it. So there's already support, right? Obviously, we have some new folks in the House and the Senate. But there's already support for this repeal. So I wonder, you know, if it's an executive order followed by, again, this kind of goes back to the SBR too. Like what is Trump looking to do? Is he looking to create executive orders and then have them followed up by actual legislation that goes through and he signs? Or, you know, is this stuff in the queue? It's kind of hard to say, but I do think, you know, these rumors are, probably true. But it's one of those things where, you know, this stuff has already kind of been, what I'll say is I'm just not surprised because, you know, we already had a bill going through to do this. And then you also saw the SEC give preferential treatment to Bank of New York Mellon, who's already able to, get an exemption from the SAB 121 rule, not allowing banks to custody Bitcoin. So I think it would only make sense that all banks are put on a level playing field.
And that's what causes the issues when you have that preferential treatment, right? And it for some reason, yeah, it went through everybody. Went through the House and the Senate, and everyone had approval, and Biden just went ahead and vetoed it. So, like you said, Bob, it'd be pretty easy for him to go ahead and repeal that, sign it through, and then just have it pass back through into law again. So the next president coming in 4 years just can't go ahead and do a pen swipe to get rid of it. But that was one of the three pillars that Saylor had said that would bring Bitcoin to $100 trillion asset, right? You had to have the ETFs, get launched. You needed the FASB rule accounting for corporates to hold it on their balance sheets. And then the third was allowing the banks to custody Bitcoin. And so you have two out of three, and it looks like you get that third one. And then who knows what's going to happen. Again, we can joke about what's going to happen. I think a lot of us are a little shell shocked from the ETFs. There's a lot of hype and hopium around the ETFs that it was going to launch the price up pretty quick. And then it kind of just was flat for the first, you know, 30, 60 days. And then, and then you could start to see the price take off of this. I really don't think that there's people that you can't front run this news. Like you can get ahead of it, but again, you have no idea what size position the United States is going to take. And then you don't have any idea what size position the other world leaders are going to take. Like we have no idea. There's rumors out of the Middle East that they have several hundred thousand Bitcoin and they're just waiting for the United States to announce. But we don't know that if it's true or not. And then who else is just hiding in the shadows that are just waiting to come out and say it? And then you get the banks that are going to try and acquire it all at once. You have the mining companies that are trying to raise money, capital to get extra Bitcoin. You have Saylor on his 2121 plan. Like again, it's just the amount of tailwind that Bitcoin has for this year is just absolutely insane. And I don't think anybody's really prepared for what's going to happen.
I think the energy side of this, Coleman, is really interesting as well. When these nation states get involved and trillions of dollars start moving into Bitcoin, one of the first things I think we're going to see, because mining is going to be one of the things I think they invest in heavily, is especially within their own geographical region, is you're going to see a push for cheaper energy no matter what. And so if they've got to push for cheaper energy, that means the evolution of technology in the energy space quickly. And I think, you know, most people are under the assumption at this point that, there are energy advancements that we have not been privileged to as the, you know, the civilian sector or even, you know, the veteran sector for that matter. But, I think a lot of this has been held under wraps. There have been, you know, alleged assassinations, and I say allegedly in quotes, of people who have figured out much cheaper ways to create energy and do it, you know, in ways that we don't really understand, as a populace. So when you start to combine this drastic move, where, you know, energy money is going to capture the market and nation states are funding it to trillions and trillions of dollars, what do you get? You get a completely new take on energy, and the people who evolve the fastest in this control more and more Bitcoin, which means more and more power. This is game theory again playing out, you know, Jason Lowry's book, Soft War. The energy race, I think, is going to be one of the most interesting things to watch in this. And that means, you know, great things for humanity in general, I think. There are obviously going to be some things that we don't understand and don't see coming, but it came up on the show last night. I think it was or maybe it was behind the scenes. It was a book by Nikola Tesla that he wrote a long time ago, and it was something about the problem of unexpected energy increase or something to that effect. I haven't gone and checked it out yet, but I would highly recommend people start thinking about this and start understanding that the energy race for cheap energy and innovation is going to do some amazing things here within the next decade.
I don't know if you saw, but the Saudis announced 2 or 3 days ago that they're going to start enriching uranium and stuff too. So I think there's two aspects to it, but I think one of them is the probably the energy side of things.
Yeah, the race for nuclear clean energy, just large, is going to be pretty interesting to watch develop. And so, like you said, Shane, it's going to be an absolute race to see who can acquire the most power and generate the most. And you might see these countries in the Middle East and Africa, maybe even Latin America, just pull away because they have so much natural energy with like hydro and geothermal that they can be they could jump ahead of everybody else. Especially, I'll use the United States because we have so much red tape. We're going to be really bogged down by it. By getting things moving and permits. So it's going to be interesting. And I do think you should always think about this, but I think it needs to be said. Please be mindful of your exposure to Bitcoin in public. So when you're out with friends in a group setting, like be very mindful of what you're saying, who you're saying it to, because you never know who's overhearing. And let's say that Trump takes office and the price of Bitcoin goes up $50,000 or $100,000. So it's at $200,000 a coin. That's going to be all over the news. And there will be people looking to target anybody that think is an easy prey. So just make sure you're always you have operational security. You don't make yourself an easy target for these people. Highly recommend setting up a multi-sig. So if you do have that $5 wrench attack $15 wrench attack, they can't just do it at one location. You have it geographically distributed. Anybody have any tips on that to help make people not such an easy target?
I mean, it's like a constant struggle for me because I want to wear like cool like Bitcoin related swag, but I also don't want to broadcast that I have anything to do with Bitcoin. So it's like, I'm just going to buy this and wear it around my house. Yeah, I mean, it is something to be aware of, you know? And then in terms of just not being an easy target, you know, just, you know, being healthy is a big thing. You know, if you're tiny and frail and you just physically look like an easy target, then, you know, it'll be more noticeable than if it looks like you might be able to put up a struggle. Even if you're kind of bluffing, you know, at least if you look a little bit more formidable, they might wait for an easier target or might give them the pause you need to be safe. And you know, don't just think also like, I think one of the things that people might do is they might slap like a bumper sticker on their car and think, well, I can defend myself. But like, if you're not the only one driving that car, you know, if your wife and kids and stuff are in that car too, you have to think of that as well. You know, so just, you know, be smart about what you're broadcasting out to the world.
I would highly recommend, it's again, we talked about it at the beginning of the show for your physical health, your mental health, but join some kind of club for martial arts. So like kickboxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, like that is extremely good. And you want to build a community. start rolling around with people, get all sweaty. Again, you're going to become friends real close or real quick. And again, like-minded people have like-minded goals, so it'll be easier to orange pill. And Shane, I know this is your realm, so I'll let you go ahead and take it from here. But again, you don't have to be, you know, super big or super strong to be effective in this mixed martial arts. A lot of it's about technique and just being quick and just being able to, you know, hold off for just a little bit until someone can come help you.
Yeah, it's funny as I actually was thinking about this the other day. You know, one of the things that I would highly suggest, you know, especially if you've got, you know, a really good bit of Bitcoin, Coleman makes it the point, you know, treat your Bitcoin like it's worth millions because it probably is. Is this idea that, yeah, geographically separate everything through multi-sig, but then there's that wrench attack that he mentions where somebody does show up and says, hey, you know, we're going to start threatening you and your family and all that kind of stuff. You need kind of almost a one button push to notify, you know, a number of different types of people, right? You know, the authorities would be good. You know, if you can get your local sheriff out there and you know, he's on the way before, you know, something like that can transpire. Let's face it, you know, geographically, if you're going to press a button and somebody's going to come out with blue lights, that's going to be a huge deterrent in itself. And then, you know, if you've got, you know, a way to contact quickly, anybody within your neighborhood or within your community or anything like that, I think that's one of the next best, and possibly, you know, the fastest, especially if you're a little more rural, like, a lot of us are moving to, you know, including myself. If you're out in the sticks, building those citadels where you've got, you know, a quick line to anybody else that's out there that can come lend a hand and a show of force, I think, you know, all of those things, you know, on top of, you know, the personal self-defense, knowing, you know, hand-to-hand weapons manipulation, and really, you know, I think maybe just adopting a combat mindset. This isn't to, you know, freak anybody out. It's not to be, you know, over hyper vigilant. I think it just kind of comes with the territory because when you understand that space equals time and time equals safety, then you start to really understand, you know, where you are and what you're doing. So, you know, some of the things that I just highly, you know, recommend not doing is I don't like population centers where people are out late and drinking. I think it's a combination of, you know, those kind of things. Like if you've got, you know, the wherewithal to keep yourself out of situations that could, you know, have a high percentage of going awry or going wrong, keep yourself out of those situations. Keep yourself out of, you know, places that are, you know, not good places. I know there are, you know, adult, you know, men out there that still like to go out to the bars and, you know, hang out, you know, later into the evenings. And it's like, you know, is this what you're building? Is this what you need to be doing? Is this your habit or do you need to be, you know, home with your family, creating the best home environment you can and making your family as strong as possible? And so I would just highly suggest adopting a mindset that revolves around, you know, hypervigilance and knowing, you know, where you are, where you're going, you know, patterns and things like that. And then obviously, you know, you can work on the geographical separation of keys and everything else and your kind of your go-to plan for your family. But yeah, definitely should be at the top of your list, especially, you know, the larger your stack is. And you know, there might be physical security that you need to hire here in the very near future. We were talking about this in terms of scale. I think we're what, 280 something days into this bull market. And if it's scales like what we've seen in the past, you're talking, you know, anywhere from, you know, over $200,000 of Bitcoin to over $6 million of Bitcoin, in that 200, you know, just after that 280 day period. So, I think it's time for people to start, you know, at least thinking about these things and, you know, where we put our time and energy, effort and thoughts, usually the rest of the universe follows us in that direction.
I will hire all my veteran buddies that did not listen to me and bought a shitcoin instead. They can come work security for me.
I'm a huge, go ahead, Mining Goblin.
No, I think that's a great idea and expand that out, not to just your veteran buddies, but anybody in your local community that is going to be looking for work when they're out of work because the fiat economy takes a giant dump, right? So like this wealth and this Bitcoin that you're accruing, you know, once you feel comfortable with that, especially once you feel comfortable with that, take a look around at your community, see who's doing good work and make sure you're ready to support that person when the hard times come. And what that will do is that will position you as a leader within your community. And because your incentives are not malaligned due to this fiat retardedness, you can actually do positive things in your community and you can leverage the power of Bitcoin, the power, most importantly, the power of the Bitcoin network to do good things, right? All these Bitcoiners, right? Layer zero, all these Bitcoiners getting to know each other, traveling.
Bonding, hey, Mining Goblin, you're into the Matrix. We can't hear you anymore, sir.
Oh, no.
There we go. Gotcha.
I was hearing him good. I think it might have been up here, Coleman.
Yeah, he's good.
All right, good to go. But I mean, this network of individuals, right? If nothing else, Bitcoin goes to zero tomorrow, and we still have a robust global network of individuals that believe in these principles of self-ownership, private property, right? Hard money. Believe in, like, let's do well by doing well. So if nothing else, you've got that. But what's really happening is those types of people are collaborating, communicating, getting together on unstoppable protocols, Bitcoin and Nostr to be included. And we're getting wealthy along the way. And wealth brings power. And you have to truly consider that, right? Especially if this is your first cycle. It is for me. Consider what that means for you and your family and try not to let it go to your head. Have a game plan before it rips up and melts everybody's face off, right? Prepare accordingly, act accordingly. And if you're not out in your local community, getting to know other people, getting to know other good dudes, good families, good community members, you should probably do that yesterday.
Yep. That, and again, you've got to make sure you hang out with like-minded people and create what you want. Again, going out to bars and spending your time there is probably not the best thing for you to be doing. Use that time for something else. So, and again,
I mean, unless that bar is the place, right? Like you can, bars don't have to be shitty places, right? They're probably going to get shitty because people like to get drunk there, but there's no reason why you can't run an establishment that serves alcohol and make it a decent place. The concept of third places needs to be revived here in America, right? Bars and pubs are great examples of that. It's not the best example because it can lead to debauchery and degeneracy because of the alcohol, but it doesn't have to, right? And some of the best people, you can go into a bar and find them. And maybe you go in there to preach the good word, right? Bring those people up, uplift them. Go be a positive sign in that bar. If that's what you're doing, right? If you used to go to the bar and now you're a Bitcoiner and you're super based and you're like, I'm not drinking or anything like that. Go out. You can just get a vodka soda, hold the vodka, and you can frequent that same establishment you used to and be a beacon of hope, being a beacon of positive energy in that establishment. And people are going to feel those vibes, right? Like there's a vibe around everybody. And if you're going in, and you're the best vibe in the place, especially if you haven't been there in a while because you've cleaned it up a little bit, people are going to be wondering what's going on, right? People are going to see you living well, doing well. They're going to be like, hey, what's that guy doing? I want to be like that, right?
So big words of wisdom right there.
Just to be degenerate. Find something else to do. And for the home aspect, again, I'm a professional dog trainer. That's what I do. You would be surprised at, you don't need a big giant dog. You don't need a Rottweiler, a great Mastiff. You know, you don't need a vicious dog, but just having a dog in your house, will deter a lot of people. So just keep that in mind if you're able to do it. If you can't keep a dog or the dog's just going to be in a kennel the whole time, it's probably not the solution for you, but if you know that you have the time to do it, and you're active already, I can't recommend that enough. Your dog does not need specialized training for protection to protect your family inside your house. That's a myth. Trust me, your dog loves you. Just think of it as like, as your wife or your mom. Like if something happens, they just become a completely different animal, different beast, and they will do anything to protect their children. Same thing with your dog. Your dog's going to be your best friend in the house. So that's just something else to keep in mind. A dog barking will deter a lot of people. Bob, or did you have anything else you wanted to add to this? Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to talk over your mining goblin.
No, you didn't. I was just going to say, I got to get back to fiat mining, and I hope you all have an above, above average day. Suck less, do better, and, hold your own keys.
I do like that message.
Is Gary still talking?
I was just going to say, I really do like that message of getting into, places that are not our echo chamber. You know, staying in our echo chamber as Bitcoiners. You know, if you're new to Bitcoin and you need to learn the stuff, great. But if you're one of those guys that's got a lot of hours under your belt and, you know, practice and know the ins and outs and get out there and get uncomfortable. It's where we grow. It's, you know, that's how humans do grow. And, you know, like I wasn't trying to take a shit on anybody going to bars or anything, but, it's just one of those things where, yeah, you know what? If you've got a local watering hole, I can't agree more. There's a ton of places that are out there that need really good positive signal. And, you know, if you're that guy that can go in, who's got the knowledge and depth that can answer those questions and be a light for them, go out and do that.
What's that saying? Comfort and growth seldom ride the same horse. So if you want to grow, it's going to be a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. And definitely, you know, link up with, Bitcoin veterans and, you know, the different like signal channels are awesome, regardless of your level of experience or knowledge. I'm sure some of you guys have seen my stumbling through getting a, Lightning wallet working and able to zap on Nostra. That took some time, but it definitely would have taken more time if there wasn't, you know, people that have knowledge helping out in the signal chats and stuff. So it's a really good resource. And the Bitcoin veterans, and I think, you know, Bitcoiners a lot as a whole are generally pretty helpful. You know, nobody, it's not like the hoarding mentality, right? Where like, you know, get out of here. You know, you can't have my Bitcoins. You know, it's, you know, pretty welcoming and, you know, people like to share the information that they have. And, you know, so if you are like starting out your journey there, definitely, you know, go to the website there and sign up and they'll get you in the right spots.
Hey guys, I got to reload this really quick. I can't hear anybody. So go ahead and just keep the conversation going for about 30 seconds.
Sure. I don't know what else we're going to cover, but you know, if, I don't know if you guys saw it yesterday too, but Twitter released some new like terms and stuff where they can just basically boot you off of like their paid stuff for whatever reason. So they're basically making it to where they can arbitrarily remove you from, I don't know if they said Twitter entirely, which I mean, they have, I know from experience that it can arbitrarily remove you, but they updated their terms of service and stuff to make it easier for them and, you know, basically immune from any like legal challenge to them, taking away blue checks and stuff that people have paid for. So, you know, just keep that in mind. Definitely recommend looking at, Nostra as an alternative. Primal makes onboarding into it like really easy. I mentioned the lightning aspect, like getting the zaps working and stuff might be a little bit harder. I think if you're not in like the worst state in the union, you can use the Primal wallet. But other than that, I think, you know, there's a lot of resources out there. I'll probably write something about my, harrowing journey to, my first zap. But really look at Nostra as something that is, the legitimate like free speech platform. Like Twitter, I think under Musk, it made huge gains and it's, you know, really helped reset the, like the narrative and the way we speak here. It's a lot freer than it was before Musk bought it. But you know, he's still a single point of failure. You know, he's just susceptible to the $5 wrench attack, but he has to face, you know, the government, you know, $5 trillion wrench attack as well. So, you know, keep that in mind. and start building your community on Nosher. So if you do get banned off of Twitter, you're not left voiceless.
Yeah, and you have to be careful with Elon. Again, right now it's working for us. You know, he's doing good things. He's allowing quote unquote free speech on X. But I'm starting to become a little bit more hesitant with how intertwined he's becoming with the geopolitical landscape across the globe, you know, getting involved with UK and Europe and sitting down talking to these people. Again, I think that is good, but it shouldn't be coming from just one person. And then I look what's going on over in California. He's sending his Tesla trucks with the SpaceLink satellites so that there's communication and everyone can talk. Again, that's great. I'm really happy he's doing that. But all of this coming from one person, it's starting to raise little red flags. And so, again, is he just trying to buy, like, political favor, trying to get on good side with everybody? What's his hidden agenda? So just be cautious when there's just a savior coming in and doing things. Because a lot of times that ends up very bad for everybody. So that was we didn't really cover any of the topics I had on here. I guess the last thing that we can go ahead and hit on was, it looks like there's going to be a race, within the states to create the first strategic Bitcoin reserve. So Florida political strategist Samuel Arms stated on X that Florida is going to beat Texas and have the first strategic Bitcoin reserve. I wrote in my notes, all our models are destroyed. Again, you have the US, you have these countries, and now you're having these states competing, not to mention the corporations. The next 60, 90 days are just going to be absolutely insane. So Bob or Yomar, if you guys have anything you want to hit on that or any final comments, let's hear them.
Yeah, these big entities tend to move slower than I think we all think. So I always look at these as positive signs that these things are being talked about. You know, I just cross my finger behind my back when I hear them, but I don't put too much into the timing on them. Like, I don't put too much of my hopes into the timing of them because there's a lot of education still going on. There's a lot of conversations about how to, like, what the strategy is. And I do like to see the competition, but I'm always a little bit more reserved in my expectations, especially the larger the entity, the harder it is.
I think the states are going to move pretty quick on this. That's just my thought. Again, be hesitant, but I can just feel it. I can see the changes. I see the people positioning themselves. It just doesn't seem like they're reading off bullet points. It seems like a lot of people know more, or more well-informed than what they were even 12 months ago. So that's just kind of my thoughts on that. But we'll go ahead and start wrapping up the show. I do want to thank everybody who tuned in, everybody who participated, everyone who sent me a message, about the Houston meetup. Again, on the 29th of this month, if you're in Northeast Houston, me and my wife will be hosting a local Bitcoin meetup. So if you have any questions or you're interested in joining, just send me a direct message and I'll send you the location and the time. And just remember that you have to be the change and you have to go out there and make it happen. If you just sit around and just type on your keyboard on X and try and make change that way, it's going to be very difficult. You have to go into your local community and be active and talk. But again, just be aware that you're not making yourself a huge target. So just be mindful of who you're talking to and where you're talking to in those situations. But I do want to thank Shane for coming up here, sharing his insight. Eomar and Bob and AC for coming up as well. I do really appreciate it. And then everybody in the audience who joined us. So make sure you're tuning in tomorrow again. We do this every weekday, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. If you missed the Bitcoin video podcast that we did, Bitcoin Veteran video podcast we had last night, it's up in the Nest. There's a link up there. It was really great. And if you're too busy to sit down and read the Daily Intelligence Bulletin that our local BV, Randy K, puts out every single day, we now have an audio version of that as well. So there's a link up there in the Nest for that as well. But that's all I have for you guys. I want you to go out there and have an absolutely great day, but just do not shitcoin. It's like betting on a horse that's been scratched from the race.